Chapter 14. Fake news exacerbates political polarization, tribalism, and the income bias. We assess Russian President Vladimir Putin ordered an influence campaign in 2016 aimed at the U.S. presidential election. Putin and the Russian government aspired to help President-elect Trump's election chances when possible by discrediting Secretary Clinton and publicly contrasting her unfavorably to him. U.S. intelligence agency's investigation of Russian cyber espionage, January 2017. Over the years, we've effectively brainwashed the core of our audience to distrust anything that they disagree with. John Ziegler, conservative radio host, December 2016. The framers realized that afactual information is corrosive to democracy. It fractures the centrality of collaborative governance. Wisdom derived from a body of commonly accepted facts that form the basis for informed decision-making by citizens, facilitating tolerance and moderation in public affairs. Fake news dilutes that wisdom, thereby posing an existential danger to high-quality democracy. That danger was dramatized in 2016 when fake news surged, allowing a spread of misinformation by partisans akin to Elbridge Gerry's pretend patriots. Political analyst Richard Hedarian described the consequence of that election. Voices that were lurking in the shadows are now at the center of the public discourse. This surge occurred on outlets such as Fox News that cater to conservatives. But it was also powerfully disseminated in an unprecedented fashion on social media platforms, or POPs, privately owned public spaces, including Facebook, Google, including YouTube, and Twitter. Inexpensive, unfiltered, and hyper-accessible social media communications have supplanted much of the traditional informational functions of broadcast and print media for Americans under the age of 50. Some 57% of Americans in a July 2016 Pew survey cited television among their news sources, while online sources overall were cited second at 38%. But that disguises a huge generational gap. The internet was cited as the most frequent news source by Americans under the age of 50. For those under age 30, it was cited first by a 2-to-1 margin over TV. This seismic shift in news sources is documented by the reaction of marketers who have rationally shifted ad placements online. Digital advertising now rivals the $70 billion spent on TV. This transformation poses a considerable challenge to prospects for an informed electorate. Potentially malicious or mendacious corner soapbox rants, accessible to a handful within hearing distance just a few years ago, are abruptly now accessible to billions. The surge of fake news during the 2016 election marks a sea change, casting yet another shadow over the quality of American democracy. Jonathan Taplin, Director Emeritus of the Annenberg Innovation Lab at the University of Southern California, explains, "The original mission of the Internet was hijacked by a small group of right-wing radicals to whom the ideas of democracy and decentralization were anathema." Even Twitter founder Evan Williams is dismayed by the extremism and toxicity abounding as entrepreneurs and partisans glamorize or monetize the outlandish and far worse on social media. And it's a lot more obvious to a lot of people that it's broken. I thought once everybody could speak freely and exchange information and ideas, the world is automatically going to be a better place. I was wrong about that. Indeed, the level of toxicity is stunning. The Pew Research Center has found that 4 in 10 internet users have been harassed online. And these are adult users, not adolescents or youths. And according to the Washington Post, 4% of internet users, including Marine Corps personnel, are victims of explicit images. This trend will persist because, while voters tend to be skeptics about general news sources, a sizable minority of Americans seemingly have yet to develop skepticism for information gleaned from cyberspace. That especially includes younger Americans, the most internet-reliant cohort. For example, researchers at the Stanford Graduate School of Education in 2016 tested student acumen in evaluating the sourcing of internet information, a key variable determining viewer trust. Their analysis of some 7,800 students nationwide found they predominantly relied on social media for news. No surprise there, yet the students proved to be quite inept at assessing the veracity of information because they failed to discriminate between news sources. A remarkable 93% were unable to winnow fact from fake news. The researchers found that test subjects accepted at face value self-serving claims and misleading graphics made by special interest groups, including financial information proffered by a bank advertisement, information from the National Rifle Association, or commentary by employers opposed to minimum wages. The analysts found a dismaying inability by students to reason about information they see on the internet. Students, for example, had a hard time distinguishing advertisements from news articles or identifying where information came from. Many people assume that because young people are fluent in social media, they are equally perceptive about what they find there. Our work shows the opposite to be true. Fake news is circulated more widely than factual news. The Stanford analysis reveals a generalized weakness among Americans of all ages in identifying fake news, evidenced by the willingness of many internet users to circulate bogus postings as readily as they circulate factual news stories. Twitter provides the data. Professor Philip Howard and colleagues at Oxford University's Internet Institute evaluated all 138,686 tweets of a political nature sent by residents of Michigan during 10 days, ending on November 11, 2016, surrounding the election. The sharing of links on social media like Twitter is a persuasive signal that users consider the information important and credible. Slightly more than 24,000 of these political tweets included links, and thus were subsequently evaluated. Some 23% of those links, 5,615, proved to be to fake news stories. This volume nearly equaled the number of links tweeted to stories originating with fact-based media, 5,668. However, when links to Russian origin news stories and to unverified WikiLeaks news reports were added, the volume of searches involving political fake news sources surpassed professional news sources. In a separate analysis, the news website BuzzFeed also concluded that fake news was shared among Facebook users more than real news. Fake news is widely believed. When a large pool of Americans with underdeveloped skills in evaluating news sources enter into an ecosystem of factual and fake news on POPs platforms, many millions are certain to be misled. That outcome was quantified by New York University professor Hunt Alcott and Stanford professor Matthew Jentschke in the wake of the 2016 election. Survey data of voters they evaluated found that only about 15%, 14.1% and 15.3% in two waves, of respondents recalled seeing fake news on social media during the election, such as the Pope endorsing candidate Trump. That's the good news. The bad news is that over half of those viewers, 59% and 52% in the two waves, believed the fables. That suggests about 11 million American voters were misled in 2016, an enormous cohort who both saw and believed fake news. Political scientists have not yet measured the impact of fake news on the 2016 balloting. If these 11 million snookered voters disproportionately selected President Trump, the outcome may have been influenced. A definitive answer is elusive, however, because any misled Trump or Clinton voter may have already been committed. Viewing the fake news merely served to reinforce a pre-existing bias. Political scientists call that syndrome confirmation bias, where viewers seek out or best retain information that fuels pre-existing opinion. What seems certain is that millions of American voters were influenced in some measure by fake news. After all, BuzzFeed concluded that the fake news story about Pope Francis endorsing Donald Trump was the single most visited item of news on Facebook in the 3 months before the U.S. election. Conservatives have proven disproportionately susceptible to fake news. Research surrounding the 2016 election has produced other notable findings. Perhaps most importantly, political scientists have concluded that conservative voters are unduly inclined to believe fake news. The machinations involving fake news during the 2016 presidential election led to the discovery that conservatives are considerably more suggestible than other Americans. This conclusion is based on real-world data and the experience of entrepreneurs in the media marketplace. Fake news websites proffering political information in 2016 were divided between for-profit ventures and ideological partisan ventures on behalf of candidates. Beginning in the spring of 2016, for-profit sites carrying political news proliferated at the hands of hundreds of entrepreneurs, including folks such as John Egan of Vancouver, Beka Latsabidze of Tbilisi, Georgia, and a number of Macedonian computer experts from the town of Veles. The business model was to entice viewers on Facebook and other social media platforms to click over to linked for-profit websites festooned with ads. Initially agnostic about U.S. politics, these international entrepreneurs tried generating clicks for websites with hyperbolic postings using pro-Clinton themes, football themes, food themes, and anti-Clinton pro-Trump themes. This cottage industry soon discovered through trial and error that Trump supporters were far more prone to respond to their fallacious posts, many merely responding to hoax headlines alone. They were readily gulled and thus held the greatest promise of profit. These entrepreneurs quickly honed in with pro-Trump, anti-Clinton fake news postings on POPs platforms in order to drive traffic to mendacious websites with names like TrumpVision365.com, USConservativeToday.com, and DonaldTrumpNews.com. According to The Guardian, the Veles contingent of cyber profiteers alone ended up creating 150 sites bashing Clinton, some allegedly receiving 1 million visits monthly. Mr. Latsabidze's hoax that Mexico would close its border with the U.S. should Trump be elected was the third most trafficked story on Facebook between May and July 2016, according to BuzzFeed. American web entrepreneurs made the same discovery and also quickly pivoted to profit from gullible Trump supporters. The star is Brandon Valerani, whose Liberty Alliance grossed $11 million in 2016. His 40 employees produced, copied, incendiary content that pandered to the right and far right, using 176 Facebook entities during the election to drive tens of millions of followers to his websites. You heard that figure correctly. San Francisco computer experts and former waiters, Paris Wade and Ben Goldman, similarly used Facebook to drive traffic to their anti-Clinton site, Liberty Writers News. Daily dashing off flamboyant 400-word fake stories, they earned tens of thousands of dollars monthly from clicks on their website. Another prominent practitioner of fake news for profit, Paul Horner, admitted in late 2016 that customizing bogus claims for undiscerning conservatives was highly profitable. Honestly, people just keep passing stuff around. Nobody fact-checks anything anymore. I mean, that's how Trump got elected. He just said whatever he wanted, and people believed everything. And when the things he said turned out not to be true, people didn't care, because they'd already accepted it. It's real scary. I've never seen anything like it. This massive pivot to hoodwink conservatives by entrepreneurs across the globe has been documented. For example, BuzzFeed found that 17 of the 20 most popular fake news sites on Facebook in the last 3 months of the 2016 election cycle were either pro-Trump or anti-Clinton. Political scientists researching Tea Party loyalists earlier had identified the same characteristic vulnerability, as noted by Scotchpole and Williamson. At times, to be sure, national right-wing advocates and media stars are handing out a load of bull to grassroots Tea Party people, who accept outlandish claims a bit too readily. In meetings and interviews, we found that misinformation was prevalent among Tea Party supporters. Tea Partiers seemed to be trusting to the point of gullibility. Important in a broader context, as Cornell economist Nancy Fulbray explains, their gullibility and brand loyalty in the face of counterfactuals also means that party grassroots are unaware how quickly the Republican lawmakers they elect, like Andy Barr, switch loyalties. Lawmakers soon ignore constituent concerns to pander to the fittest 50 agenda of raising profits at the expense of wages, with constituents left in the dark. Many Tea Party members may be unaware of the extent to which wealthy political conservatives like the Koch brothers have controlled their efforts and shaped legislative priorities. Fake news for partisan gain. In addition to fake news propagated by profit seekers, innumerable websites and social media postings were and are still crafted for partisan gain alone, including by the Russian government. And there is a third category of bogus online information disseminators who blend profit with ideology and partisanship. Pushing a partisan agenda can also be costly. The Wall Street Journal, for example, reported that the National Enquirer paid $150,000 to purchase exclusive rights to information about a woman's affair with Donald Trump, a report they promptly buried, squelched. In contrast, on November 5, 2016, on the eve of the election, the Enquirer revealed to readers that Secretary Clinton was addicted to narcotics. See Margaret Sullivan, Enquirer Sticks a Fork in Rancid Campaign Journalism, Washington Post, November 6, 2016. Aside from Fox News and Sinclair, they include the National Enquirer, Breitbart News, Talk Radio, InfoWars, The Daily Caller, Liberty Alliance, Truth Feed, and entrepreneurial fabricators such as Cameron Harris of Annapolis, Maryland, owner of the site ChristianTimesNewspaper.com. Like others, Harris was stunned by the gullibility of those conservatives drawn by his mendacity. At first, it kind of shocked me, the response I was getting, how easily people would believe it, bogus anti-Clinton screeds. Some web authors are cyber sophisticates, utilizing innovations such as automated Twitter accounts or bots that disseminate programmed information in volume with very little human input. In fact, Professor Howard at Oxford University found that a fifth of the tweets his team examined in the last week of the election were generated by high-volume users, 50 or more posts daily, a signal that they were likely automated bots. And by nearly a 3-to-1 margin, 78,662 versus 28,074, they disseminated pro-Trump, anti-Clinton messages, designed to attract attention with alluring captions beneath bizarre pictures. Moreover, the location of the bots suggested to experts that they focused their political messages on users in important swing states, such as Florida. The gullibility of grassroots conservatives and their tendency to self-select for right-wing news disseminators does not surprise Republican political professionals. Former Romney presidential campaign advisor Ted Newton explains that their conservative convictions almost made them slaves to those news outlets. So there is a whole group of people who will only watch Fox, who will only read Breitbart News, and they are living in a bubble. Retired conservative radio host Charlie Sykes describes many of his listeners in the same vein. You can be in this alternative media reality, and there's no way to break through it. Other Republicans agree, including George W. Bush speechwriter David Frum. Too often, conservatives dupe themselves. They wrap themselves in closed information systems based on pretend information. For example, tax cuts always pay for themselves. This is how to understand the Glenn Beck phenomenon. Every day, Beck offers alternative knowledge, an alternative history of the United States and the world, an alternative system of economics, an alternative reality. Between being targeted with fake news and their confirmation bias, the GOP grassroots is not well informed about political or economic issues, nor of the invaluable role government has played for two centuries in expanding American prosperity. Indeed, the GOP electoral base has become so fact-challenged as to alarm even some conservatives. Here is Jennifer Rubin, writing in May 2016. Conservatives must end their infatuation with phony news, conspiracy theories, and demonization of well-meaning leaders. It is time to grow up, turn off Sean Hannity, get off toxic social media, and start learning about the world as it is. It has become pathological. Feeding American conservatives a diet of partisan Republican opinion with slanted and fake news is hugely profitable for Fox News, Breitbart News, entrepreneurs such as Valerani, and talk radio hosts such as Rush Limbaugh. However, their success means that too many Americans have settled into comfort zones where facts are merely one option among many on the information dashboard. President Obama was not born in America. Serena Williams uses banned substances. 4 million people fraudulently voted for Hillary Clinton. New Jersey Muslims boisterously celebrated 9/11. President Obama wiretapped Trump Tower. The gullibility regarding fake news that emerged in 2016 on the American right puts the lie to Alexis de Tocqueville's 1830s observation in Democracy in America. I do not think that there is a single country in the world where, in proportion to the population, there are so few ignorant individuals as in America. Delegitimizing fact-based journalism to polarize the electorate for partisan gain. Weaponized fake news has bolstered the GOP, and its fabulists present another barrier to ending the income bias. Recall Fox News's role in promoting the Tea Party at the behest of the Kochs and Rupert Murdoch. That role was reprised in recent years by the Mercer family in providing millions of dollars to the super PAC Make America Number One and the nationalist Breitbart News website. The risks posed by such behavior to the quality of democracy are one reason that higher quality democracies explicitly limit their fittest's ability to bend politics. In Harper versus Canada, 2004, for example, the Canadian Supreme Court expressed fears for any society where the affluent dominate the political discourse. This unequal dissemination of points of view undermines the voters' ability to be adequately informed of all views. The sheer scope of cyber entrepreneurialism in 2016 means the fittest 50 actually played only a modest role in the explosion of fake news. Nonetheless, its agenda has been greatly furthered by the ensuing GOP electoral successes. The central role played by fake news in today's Republican Party is rooted in the aftermath of the 1964 Goldwater campaign, when a narrative emerged asserting the outcome reflected a liberal media bias. Richard Hofstadter wrote then of the paranoid beliefs of GOP grassroots that America has been largely taken away from them. That narrative has been embellished since. The George W. Bush administration mocked the reality-based community of the New York Times. That's not the way the world works anymore. We create our own reality. Mitt Romney's pollster in 2012, Neil Newhouse, declared, "We're not going to let our campaign be dictated by fact-checkers." President Trump has gone considerably further, making warfare on fact-checkers a central element of his administration's public outreach strategy. Doubts are raised. Independent purveyors of facts ranging from the New York Times to Snopes and FactCheck.org are labeled fake news sources. The mainstream media is routinely termed the fake news industry by President Trump himself, demonized as an enemy of the American people. The press is out of control. The level of dishonesty is out of control. President Trump also routinely punches down at disgusting reporters, scum, asserting, "They're very, very dishonest people." Scholars studying the use of fake news, it's called agnotology, emphasize its goal to raise doubts about the truth by creating and then sustaining controversy regarding awkward facts. They explain that the GOP and President Trump's reliance on fake news mimics tactics used by the post-war tobacco industry anxious to obfuscate the fact that tobacco use caused cancer. All facts are preliminary. Studies are merely anecdotal or statistical manipulations. Experts disagreed. Critics had hidden agendas. It's unsettled science. Wait for the best people to get a real answer. This mimicry of the tobacco industry by President Trump in casting doubt on mainstream, fact-based reporting has been astoundingly successful. Survey data from the Pew Research Center in March 2017 found that a sharp divide was opened in 2016 between how Democrats and Republicans perceive news organizations. Some 89% of Democratic adults agreed, for instance, that news organizations keep political leaders from doing things that shouldn't be done. Only 42% of Republican respondents agreed with this watchdog role, creating the widest gap by far in this survey series that began in 1985. One of the most notable statistics in this book is a Gallup finding that only one-third, 32% of Americans in 2016 toward the end of the election expressed trust and confidence in the mainstream media. That share has fallen by more than half, from 72% in 1976, before Ronald Reagan launched the GOP assault on moderation in public affairs by abandoning the fairness doctrine. With only one-third of Americans expressing confidence in fact-based reporting, the nation is no longer the collaborative post-war democracy that routinely reached compromise on difficult issues, such as civil rights, on the basis of a widely accepted body of common facts. Indeed, a Suffolk University USA Today survey in March 2017 found that 34% of registered voters agreed that mainstream media outlets are the enemy of the American people. The GOP's war on the press has convinced one in three Americans that facts derived from investigative reporting are their enemy. GOP officials' adoption of the destructive strategy of polarizing fake news signals how their powerfully aggressive pursuit of the fittest 50 agenda has overruled the Republicans' Democratic and conservative roots. The intellectual father of modern conservatism, Milton Friedman, for example, acknowledged that facts are an inestimable pillar in sustaining a quality democracy. In his famous 1955 essay, he wrote that a stable and democratic society is impossible without widespread acceptance of some common set of values and without a minimum degree of literacy and knowledge on the part of most citizens. In wielding fake news as a cudgel to demonize the mainstream press, the Republican Party, and especially Donald Trump, are precisely mimicking European and Japanese authoritarians in the 1930s, Richard Nixon in the 1970s, and more recently, Silvio Berlusconi, Hugo Chavez, Vladimir Putin, and Recep Erdogan. Sykes explains the vital role played by its partisan supporters on talk radio, Fox News, and the like in polarizing the nation. Instead, we opened the door for President Trump, who found an audience that could be easily misled. The more the fact-based media tries to debunk the president's falsehoods, the further it will entrench the battle lines. He can do this because members of the Trump administration feel confident that the alternative reality media will provide air cover, even if they are caught fabricating facts or twisting words, like claiming that the ban on Muslim immigrants wasn't really a ban. Indeed, they believe they have shifted the paradigm of media coverage, replacing the traditional media with their own. Today's alternative reality media includes conservative commentator Rush Limbaugh, who regularly argues that fake news is the everyday mainstream media news. They just make it up. The consequential diminution of factual information for Americans is lamented by Sykes. As we learned this year, 2016, we had succeeded in persuading our audiences to ignore and discount any information from the mainstream media. Over time, we'd succeeded in delegitimizing the media altogether. All the normal guideposts were down, the referees discredited. We destroyed our own immunity to fake news, while empowering the worst and most reckless voices on the right. Another conservative media figure, Oliver Darcy, adds, "I'm a conservative talk show host, All conservative hosts have basically established their brand as being contrasted to the mainstream media. So we have spent 20 years demonizing the liberal mainstream media. At a certain point, you wake up and you realize you have destroyed the credibility of any credible outlet out there. The analogy that I think of is somebody who has a baby alligator in their bathtub, and they keep feeding it and taking care of it. And it's really cute when it's a baby alligator, until it becomes a grown-up alligator and comes out and starts biting you. Their concern is echoed by other conservatives, such as radio host John Ziegler. Over the years, we've effectively brainwashed the core of our audience to distrust anything that they disagree with. And now it's gone too far. The gatekeepers have lost all credibility in the minds of consumers. You can only be exposed to stories that make you feel good about what you want to believe. Unfortunately, the truth is unpopular a lot. While being interviewed on Fox News by Megyn Kelly on January 21, 2014, a chastened Glenn Beck acknowledged that many of his gullible viewers had become fragile. He said, "I played a role, unfortunately, in helping tear the country apart, and it's not who we are. I didn't realize how really fragile the people were. I thought we were kind of a little more in it together. But now I look back and I realize if we could have talked about the uniting principles a little more instead of just the problems." In the wake of 2016, the hallmarks of 21st century American democracy are a social media industry promulgating division and a Republican Party grown successful with fake news fostering polarization. You may deplore this new reality, but others welcome it, including Russians eager to see America become the farce feared by Madison. The Trump campaign's spinning of conspiracy theories while questioning America's democratic process sowed distrust and discord, rather than dramatically furthering Russian propaganda objectives. By mendaciously claiming rigged elections and voter fraud, candidate and then President Trump has utilized traditional Russian propaganda and misinformation techniques to discredit American democracy. Moreover, he routinely called attention to WikiLeaks information hacked by Russian cyber spooks, credentialing, rewarding, and incentivizing Kremlin intervention. Traditional Republican conservatives, such as Robert Kagan, were stunned by this de facto Trump-Putin collaboration. It would have been impossible to imagine a year ago that the Republican Party's leaders would be effectively serving as enablers of Russian interference in this country's political system. Yet, astonishingly, that is the role the Republican Party is playing. On the world stage, America has championed the virtues of democracy, individual rights, and freedoms since World War II. Its economic and military might provide important sustenance to the higher quality democracies abroad, whose political systems do actually spread the gains from growth broadly. A fretful Vladimir Putin has sought for nearly a decade to diminish the lure of such democratic governance, and his marquee success is the election of a president critical of the U.S. democratic system and reluctant to reject white supremacists. Americans' image worldwide has suffered. Pew Research Center polling in June 2017 found the nation's favorability rating globally had fallen from 64% to 49% following Trump's first months in office. Pointing to his arrogant demeanor, Pew's 40,000 global respondents expressed more confidence in the murderous Putin, 27%, than in Trump, 22%. It is unclear if Putin is accountable for the election of Donald Trump. But Russian intervention certainly enhanced his relative appeal to American voters. How was that accomplished? Russian cyber espionage in support of Donald Trump. Vladimir Putin is hostile to democracy. He is especially annoyed by fact-checkers in the media, at home or abroad. Unlike the GOP, however, Putin is able with impunity to do more domestically than merely demonize them in efforts to make facts missable. More than a score of Russian investigative reporters have been murdered in unsolved crimes since 2009. Others sit in jail at Putin's behest, falsely accused. Abroad, The Russians have a history since 2009 of aggressive cyber intervention in the politics of the Baltic, Balkans, and Western democracies. This interference is motivated by concern for the well-being and position of Putin and his close colleagues, with the goal of discrediting democracies abroad sufficiently to blur their sharp contrasts with his kleptocracy. Putin's interest in discrediting democracy rose sharply following the Arab Spring, including the color revolutions in Ukraine and across North Africa that displaced authoritarians. The Kremlin began to covertly aid the election of unconventional candidates in Europe and America to bring discredit on the democratic process. In 2014, Russia provided $10 million to Marine Le Pen's xenophobic, fascist, French National Front. In Holland in 2016, fake news disseminated by Russian intelligence officials masquerading as Ukrainians was responsible for Dutch voters rejecting a free trade agreement with Ukraine. It took another year to expose the Russians and achieve ratification. On TV and in public appearances, these poseurs demonized the new Ukrainian democracy, repeating Kremlin mendacities such as Ukrainian troops burned the Dutch flag or killed a three-year-old for wearing a crucifix. Even so, most Russian misinformation was spread on social media platforms. These and other similar events are elements of a pattern of pervasive and endemic Russian intervention in European elections documented by the Center for Strategic and International Studies in Washington and the Sofia Bulgaria Center for the Study of Democracy. Recent actions have focused on Eastern Europe in addition to America, France, and the Netherlands. The Kremlin tactics featuring character assassination have scored considerable success, flipping governments to pro-Russian leaders in Armenia, Georgia, Hungary, and Moldova. This Russian strategy, including leaked emails, was replicated in America during 2016. For instance, its TV network RT Broadcasting in America repeatedly smeared Secretary Clinton with fables such as how 100% of the Clintons' 2015 charity went to themselves. The reach of this Kremlin propaganda became surprisingly broad among Americans. RT's English-language broadcasts, streamed on Google's YouTube platform, were more widely viewed, for instance, than CNN's streaming news coverage. And pro-Trump ads surreptitiously purchased by Russians on social media were widely viewed. In January 2017, the American intelligence agencies explained the goals of such Russian intervention in the election this way. We assess Russian President Vladimir Putin ordered an influence campaign in 2016 aimed at the U.S. presidential election. Russia's goals were to undermine public faith in the U.S. democratic process, denigrate Secretary Clinton, and harm her electability and potential presidency. We further assess Putin and the Russian government developed a clear preference for President-elect Trump. Putin and the Russian government aspire to help President-elect Trump's election chances when possible by discrediting Secretary Clinton and publicly contrasting her unfavorably to him. This intervention actually began in 2015. Russian military websites, including Guccifer 2.0, posing as Romanian freedom activists, and DCLeaks.com, posing as American freedom activists, joined RT in seeding anti-Clinton fake news on social media platforms. The impact of this cyber warfare was enhanced because of breakdowns in the U.S. Federal Bureau of Investigation, FBI, which is responsible for countering covert Russian espionage. As reported on December 14, 2016, by the leading European business paper, The Financial Times, the FBI proved inept. Journalist David J. Lynch explained that the Russian cyber warriors exploited shorthanded Federal Bureau of Investigation counterintelligence units. And Luke Harding, Stephanie Kirschgassner, and Mick Hopkins of The Guardian quoted the top British spy agency GCHQ conclusion that it looks like the U.S. agencies were asleep. They, the European agencies, were saying, there are contacts going on between people close to Mr. Trump and people we believe are Russian intelligence agents. You should be wary of this. The sluggish FBI reaction hampered President Obama, reluctant to publicize the Russian intervention without hard facts during the election campaign. In fact, while the CIA had decided in August 2016 that the Kremlin was aiding candidate Trump, the undermanned FBI demurred for months. American voters were left in the dark about the de facto Russian-Trump collaboration deplored by Kagan and others. The Russian intervention included hacking of personal email accounts, websites, and at least 21 state election systems on behalf of candidate Trump, along with Russian propaganda being disseminated through thousands of ads and websites. Facebook hosted huge numbers of fake Russian accounts, like the mythical Melvin Reddick, whose postings directed gullible Americans to anti-Clinton sites, such as the Kremlin's DC leaks. At the center of Kremlin propaganda was the Russian Internet Research Agency. Its accounts generated Russian postings and advertisements viewed by 10 million Americans on Facebook alone, some bought with rubles. The surreptitious, incendiary posts featured divisive issues designed to generate anger and electoral enthusiasm among American conservatives, especially in swing states. The moderate center of American democracy can prosper only when supported by what Madison termed the power that knowledge gives, a common body of widely accepted facts forming a foundation for reasoned public debate. The next chapter reviews options for rebuilding that center by hewing to originalism in reducing the reach and impact of fake news.